Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And y'all know me. You know how I earns a living. I'm Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Biscotti.
Can I speak?
That's your cue.
Raising my hand?
That was a cue for you to speak, not me taking a breath.
I was waiting for the pause. I will be watching. I will be watching what I say. And so my comments will be low and minimum because according to friend of the show, Brian, nobody likes to hear me speak.
Oh, wow, that's a low blow. That's kind of all it is. A low blow
from friend of the show Brian, and then it was a low blow. Matt sent it to everybody laughing.
I don't think that's what I sent. I don't think he said nobody likes hearing you talk. No, that's in fact, it's not at all what he said.
No, he said nobody wants to hear me.
But that is literally all you do on this show.
Yes, he did. That's what he said. That's what you sent.
Let me look. I'm pretty sure that's not what he said.
I would like to interject and welcome Jimmy O to the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he did say that, but it was a joke.
Yeah, he did say that.
He said, "Tell Mark to stop interrupting you. No one wants to hear him talk." LOL. That was so good. He was joking. He was laughing. Wow.
Fucking. Wow. Brian.
He was laughing.
Can't wait for you to be on the show, Brian.
And from JoeBlow.com.
And from JoeBlow.com, film critic. Again, we're making it the Mark Show.
Mark Show.
James Oster, Mr. Jimmy O. Yeah.
We're falling apart already. We got
wheels are coming off.
It's
Mark is bad. he's a battle or what is it? He's a wrecking ball.
Yeah, he is.
My face looks like a wrecking ball.
Well, that's true. Mark had a spill. He had a spill this week, and he's got a bit of a shiner.
Yeah, he does. Poor Mark.
So, or at least that's his story he's telling us. And I'm not asking.
I didn't get in a fight. I promise you.
I'm not asking any follow-up questions on this.
It's not much of a fight when you get the shit kicked out of you. Whatever.
Yeah.
That's so great.
You should see the other guy. He looks beautiful.
Yeah.
He looks better. He looks
unscathed. Brutal. Yeah.
Yeah, he looks better than he did when we got into a fight. Well, this week there's a lot of people wondering, Joe.
Are there?
God's name did you watch that was not a part of the theme?
I actually watched a very big amount. That's how good my vocabulary is. I watched a lot. So first off, I watched Influencer, which is the new
Me too.
Off of new film from 2023, and that was on Shudder, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah.
Is that a Shudder original?
Yeah. Yeah.
Great film. I did like this. I recommend it quite a bit. I think it's something, if you already subscribe to Shudder, you should definitely be checking it out. I would like to point out that Cassandra Nod and Emily Tennant, who are the two main characters in there, were very good. Very well acted.
Yeah, Cassandra, what was her name? Nod? Yeah, Nod. She was great. Really good. And I didn't realize that birthmark was actually, it's a real birthmark.
So. Yeah. That ain't no makeup. But yeah, I was surprised there after watching the film. I did realize there was a couple questions on motive that I had, but it wasn't something that took me out of the movie at all. It was like later on when I was pondering what I just watched, that's when it popped into my head. I'm like, huh, I wonder why she does all this. But it was very good. And if you have the opinion of influencers as I did, then you'll really enjoy it. So,
yeah, I liked it a lot too. That was one that I didn't care that we didn't know the motive of her. There is one, and that's all that matters. She has obviously some reason for being a serial killer, which is basically what she is.
Spoiler.
Well, I guess that's true, but
I don't need to watch it.
Yeah. But I mean, that's all pretty much the, it's a one long, cold open basically, because the cold, credits don't even come out until we've gotten past that whole part. So
yeah, it was like 27 minutes into the film before he saw the opening credits.
Right. It was a lot like, I think Fresh was like that too, wasn't it? Where it was like the credits started at the very beginning. But yeah, I liked it too. What else, Joe?
I watched Hugh Sarah, the Bone Woman, off of Shudder. It was good. It was very well done. It's not particularly for me. It's not my thing. It's about this girl who's, you know, finally, she'd always wanted to be pregnant, finally pregnant. But there's some complications with her life and her past that keep coming up. And it was okay. Like I said, it held my interest, but it's just the main focal point that you get to towards the end of the movie really isn't my thing, the witches. But
yeah,
I don't know. Still worth a watch.
I liked it. I haven't, you know, I have to, I guess, revisit it maybe, because I did like it a lot when I first saw it, but I've kind of forgotten it since then. So it didn't leave like an impression on me, but I remember liking it a lot. And I know when I saw it, I gave it a nice review. So it's definitely worth checking out. And it's more on the supernatural level, I guess, almost like a possession almost, but more like, you know, like a supernatural kind of thing,
or I don't want to say entity, but yeah,
along those lines.
I also revisited 1987's Predator, because why the hell not? It's Predator. You know, and it is technically a horror film. As far as other new ones, I watched, did any of you guys watch this off my recommendation, Tin and Tina?
New
film on Netflix.
No.
Oh, you guys have got to watch this. It is creepy. Actually, here's my notes. Fucking bizarre. Everything about this is weird. There's creepy albino twins. There's weird Mexican music about Chinese people spinning plates. There's an absentee father. There's crippling religious entity in this. And its film has just absolutely everything. It is just so bizarre. You've got to watch this. I'm not saying it's great, but it is worth watching.
Yeah, I have to check it out.
So
is this a new
movie? Let's see. 2023.
Nice.
Although it the way it was shot and the time period that it takes place in, you wouldn't know it was 2023. So, but just the kids are so bizarre and creepy in this. Again, though, I have a thing about twins, and these are albino twins. So anyway, weird. I also watched 2021's Don't Kill Me off of Netflix. It's kind of like an Italian version of Twilight, except instead of a vampire, it's a zombie. Not good. I gave it real low rating. This is one of the few movies that I watched that I was really, really close to finally just turning it off.
What's it called?
Don't Kill Me, from 2021. Like I said, I about half an hour left in the movie, I really just did not care any longer, and had the remote in my hand, and I'm like, nah, screw it. It's only a half an hour left. I guess I'll finish it. So I don't give that one rave reviews. But, and then lastly, Bone Tomahawk, which, Mark, did you end up watching that? You're on mute. Still on mute.
No.
No, he's not. Oh,
we waited for that.
Yeah, thanks. You could have just shaken Jimmy. I take it you've seen it.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Matt, you've seen it too, right?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, I am not a big Western fan, but this, I was enjoying it from beginning to end. Kurt Russell, Patrick Wilson, Matthew Fox, Richard Jenkins from Step Brothers, David Arquette, Sid Haig, Sean Young is even in it. I don't know why Sean Young was in that. She was in that film for what? A minute.
Yeah.
She's the mayor's wife. But I mean, still, it was a very compelling story. I kept, it's being billed as a horror film, and I keep wondering, where's the horror? Where's the horror? Where's the horror? And then all of a sudden, yep, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Did that ever make up for lost time? It's 2 hours and 11 minutes, but it honestly, that it went real quick.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Yeah. It's brutal. It's a brutal movie.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It is not at all horror until it's really horror.
I mean, you got to put it up there with like Terrifier and Irreversible. You know, it's wow.
Yeah.
Painful to watch.
Yeah. It was rough.
It can be, yes.
Yeah. So that was it. That was my laundry list of non-themed films.
Yeah, how about you, Mark?
I came across a movie. I don't know if you guys have seen it. I saw Attachment.
You finally watched it.
Adaptive.
Wow.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It was great. I'm glad somebody decided to recommend it to me. it was a really
Matt and I both did.
Both of us did.
Yeah.
I don't recall.
Repeatedly.
It's fantastic. It's a great movie. A little Jewish folklore. I thought those two actresses, I've never seen them before, but they were wonderful actresses. I believed the love story. The chemistry they had was believable. The mom was super creepy. A great little twist.
The uncle. I love the uncle.
The uncle was phenomenal. He was kind of like comedic. He had some comedic timing. He was just so blunt, like just Jewish bluntness, you know. Matter of fact, why are we in the woods?
it's
fantastic.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic movie. I highly recommend it. If people want to watch it, yeah, go watch it. And yeah, that's all I've seen.
Okay. Jimmy, anything new you've seen?
Everything through work, so nothing that would really fit the
nothing
show.
Discussable.
Flaming Hot, the Eva Longoria movie about the guy who supposedly it was a good movie, though. It was cute. It was really cute.
That's the Flaming Hot Dorito or Cheeto thing? Yeah.
Very nice, good movie. And I watched another movie that I can't really talk about yet, but I freaking loved it. Not really. It kind of has a bit of a, even though it's not really a horror again, it's got some stuff. It's very exciting. Very, very suspenseful, really fantastic film. So talk about that next time.
Okay.
Oh, the Flamin' Hot Cheeto movie, right?
Yeah.
Where he discovers the spice and whatnot?
He says he does. Frito-Lay says, no, that didn't happen.
Oh, so this is fictional.
It's his story. So like, I mean, he did move up in the company. He did. There is truth to it. It's just probably maybe a little exaggerated, but honestly, it doesn't even matter. It's such a joyful little movie that it's really, Eva Longoria did a hell of a job directing. It's a really well-directed film. Really smart film. Really, I enjoyed it quite a bit. Yeah.
Cool. To watch it. I love Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Yeah. It's on Hulu. So it's easy. I'm getting a bag of it at some point. So maybe I'll send it to you or something.
Nice. Let's see. What did I watch? I watched Influencer, like Joe, and that was a very good movie. I highly recommend that. A lot of twists and turns, and there's just a lot of layers to that movie with the boyfriend who kind of starts out at the beginning is kind of being kind of a jerk, but as you get to see him, he comes back into the picture. You see more layers to him, and the main antagonist is a very layered character as well, and it's just interesting, a lot of twists and turns on it. So very, very good movie, and I highly recommend it. Let's see. And then I went to see The Boogeyman this last weekend. I don't know if none of you guys did. Mark said he was going to but didn't, right?
I didn't get to.
And this was originally, well, it's from a short story by Stephen King, The Boogeyman, from what was the collection that's from?
Night Shift,
yeah, which was, that was like my introduction to Stephen King when I was real young. I read Night Shift. There are lots of it's some of his most classic short stories are in Night Shift. I believe The Lawnmower Man is in that, if I'm not mistaken. And
The Mangler.
Children of the Corn, maybe?
Yeah, Children of the Corn, The Mangler, Boogeyman,
yeah.
Battleground.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot. It's a great collection of short stories if you haven't read it, and they're all very. But the Boogeyman was, I thought, the creepiest one of that. And so this was written. The original screenplay was written by Beck and Woods, who are from Bettendorf, Iowa, and they wrote A Quiet Place and they directed Haunt, which was one of my favorite horror movies of the last several years. A really good movie. They wrote and directed that, but this was, they wrote it and they did their version of it. And then the direction was given to Rob Savage, who directed Host, which came out a couple years ago. And I think he had a movie called Dash Cam, but it's a good one. It is very, there's nothing unpredictable about it. It's pretty predictable, but it's very well done. Has some really nice jump scares, kind of very, very well set up jump scares. I liked the family dynamic. I thought that the daughters and the father were really just a sweet group, and you really do care about them. And even though the story itself is a bit on the predictable side, it's well done. So, you know, everybody, there's... tons of predictable out there of all kinds, and this is the kind I could watch anytime. Kind of a haunting story. Yeah.
Did you know that those two cats from Bettendorf are building a movie house here downtown?
Yeah.
Davenport.
Yeah
okay,
yeah. Down there,
like
where
a Broomview type of thing,
right? Yeah
right along the river.
Yeah, nice. I heard that down by the John O'Donnell or something like that, right? Where the Milwaukee...
opposite. Well, same road, but opposite end of Davenport.
Oh, okay.
John O'Donnell's on one end. This is on the east end.
Oh, okay.
See, Joe, you get things in Davenport. You have things.
We're getting construction. That's what we get. Someday it'll be done, and then maybe after that we'll get some decent, you know, like small run movies.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, hopefully it's supported too. That would be yeah, pretty cool. And I'm glad that those guys
I drive by the construction every day.
Nice.
Well,
yeah,
I'm glad those guys are giving back to the community and everything too. So they've stayed active in that area. But gosh, for such a small town, there's been some big time people come from there. Those guys and Assistant Secretary of State from a few years ago was there and was from my high school. So in fact, Joe, you didn't go to Bettendorf. You didn't go to Bettendorf High School, Joe.
No, but I'm here now.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy. Anyway. So I highly recommend it. I think it's a lot of fun. It's a great, summer popcorn movie, horror movie in the vein of, you know, Poltergeist and those that are kind of crowd pleasers, but also have a kind of a scary edge and some nice jump scares. It's a good one. I think that you'll go into it and I think you'll have a good time. Let's see what else. I watched a movie. I rented a movie this weekend called Exhibit 8, which was a found footage, but it's not like a ghostly found footage. So if you're not into found footage, you might actually kind of like this one. It's about this girl who, she and her brother were refugees from, I think, where were they? I think Serbia or no, Bosnia. They were refugees from Bosnia, and her brother went missing. And so now she's an adult, and she and this documentary filmmaker, they decide to make a documentary about trying to find her brother. So they go back to this town where they had been in an orphanage, and they uncover a bunch of creepy stuff. And it's very interesting. It's a little kind of a mystery, but also sort of folk horror. And it's not like a ghost kind of thing at all. The antagonists are real, and I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I think if you're I'm found footage for me, I like more with like hauntings and that sort of thing. But if you're into, you know, this kind of thing, if you're not into found footage, you might give it a try because it's a little different. And I found that there were reasons for using the cameras were were very consistent. Like there weren't many moments where I thought, why would they be recording this? Because it was all a part of the documentary for the most part. And when they had a body cam on, there was a good reason for it. So it was a lot of interviews and more of a mockumentary, kind of like what's the Australian, was it an Australian movie or New Zealand movie with the, it was more of a mockumentary, Lake Mungo.
Yeah.
It was a lot. It was more like that in the way it's constructed. It's not found footage, like people just carrying around cameras for no reason and, you know, recording conversations that they wouldn't be. So anyway, it was pretty good. Nothing great. And I think that is, oh, sorry. The only other thing I wanted to mention is there are two things, the TV show, well, three things, the TV show Yellow Jackets finished and their season, and it was okay. I was into it the whole time and everything, but I have questions about it, and I'm interested to see what next season brings. I also finished Dead Ringers, which was the show with Rachel Weisz where she plays the twins. That wound up really, I thought it was really good. It's very different, very unusual, kind of a very strange show, but Rachel Weisz should get every Emmy award and Golden Globe or whatever. She's amazing in it. And then there is a return of a show called From a couple years ago. And that's back out now. And it's, I think it's almost done with its second season. It's on a channel that we didn't have. So we waited until it got going in its season before we subscribe to the channel. I can't remember what channel it is. Paramount Plus maybe or something. I can't remember which one, but it's good. This is a really good season and really strong. There's some hardcore horror in this one and some good gore. I like this one a lot. So I highly recommend From. I thought the first season had its ups and downs and there were a couple episodes that were kind of filler to me, but this new season started out really strong. We watched, I think, the first two or three episodes and it's good. The action is tight and it's full on horror. I think you'll like it. So I highly recommend that. And that's all I've got. I finally got to watch stuff that wasn't theme related this week. So
nice.
Well, Jimmy, that brings us. Oh, hold on, Joe.
Hang on. Stop the presses.
Yeah.
I'm sure we probably want to give everyone an update on the results of the poll that Mark put out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we should. Yeah.
You know, Mark, do you want to read the results or do you want me to? I got it right in front of me.
Well, Joe, go ahead. I think that would be too humiliating for Mark. I'll take care. Yeah, go ahead.
So Mark apparently put up this poll. It says, what CineScare host would survive a horror film?
And Joe, let me ask you, what kind of person would put up a poll about themselves that there's a strong chance they pretty much know they're going to lose it?
I don't know what.
That's okay. That might be a rhetorical question. Yeah. Might be,
yes. Yeah. I think you've answered your own question.
Yeah, I guess so. That's true.
So there were 11 votes.
Oh wow!
And
What engagement that had!
Popular,
whopping 11. Okay, here we
are—the
actual results. So, Matt, you received 2 votes.
Dave, I was one Jimmy, of them, by the way.
Yeah, Jimmy, you also received 2 votes.
Okay.
I apparently am the survivalist in the group because I received 6 votes.
Yeah,
only one of which was my own. And Mark, I'm sure you voted for yourself because you did get 1 vote.
No, it was Angelica.
Oh, that's right. Angelica did. Yeah, yes. Yeah. So you had somebody rooting for you. So apparently if there is, find yourself in a horror film, come find me and I'll take care of you.
Yeah.
That it's fine. I will concede to the votes. It was fair until, but I will say that it was rigged. Because Joe took me off for a while and then put me back on. So it's tampered with, just like all the games on CineScare. It is tampered. But I will say that you're against me. Well, yeah. I mean, Joe immediately took me off the list. So I probably might have missed some votes. I also didn't vote for myself. I wanted to be fair. And I believe I voted for Joe, too. Did I not?
I don't know who you voted for.
I think I voted for Joe, and which is okay. Fine. You know, but I was being fair.
Obvious Matt, choice. Of course, yeah.
Wasn't, and you weren't either, Joe, which I was surprised because usually you're fair with the games. But you tinkered with it, and that's
fine. Posed with a question, who do I think would survive? And I honestly thought it would be me.
Well, yeah, no, that's fine. But you also voted for Matt and James.
No, so. I didn't. Yeah, no, I didn't vote for them.
Yeah, yeah, you did.
I did?
Yeah, yeah, you did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, can we vote more than once?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, then I guess I didn't cheat or anything.
But no matter how you boil it down, yeah. Joe still it's won. Fine.
Exactly. Exactly. I concede to it. Kind of
by a landslide.
But, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's because you are a gun owner and you are a master archery guy. You're Robin Hood. Yeah. You're Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
Well, so, anyways, yeah. I concede, but I.
Well, it just said horror film. You know, if it was, there's like Predator would probably beat me. Yep. You know, Alien, I mean, Mark,
you might survive a rom com.
Yeah, maybe.
You know,
or a sitcom.
I wouldn't.
Yeah. He could survive a sitcom, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, for sure, like a sitcom. Oh, he's Jim J. Bullock in.
Yeah, or like some one of the roommates on New Girl.
Balky.
Oh, yeah.
Balky.
Yeah, I think Balky.
Oh, Balky. Sure.
Probably one of the greatest intro songs in yes. history. Probably.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, that and Growing Pains is really good, too.
What about Bosom Buddies?
It's the best.
No. It's got to be like written for the sitcom.
Well, I guess that's true. That was a song before.
Yeah. Actually, Jimmy, Cheers is great.
Jimmy, we'll get into moonlighting a little later tonight.
Yeah. Oh, moonlighting.
I do have it in my notes. Yeah.
Oh, good.
All right. Well, that brings us to our theme of the week. Jimmy, what in God's name did you have us watch?
Let's get sleazy. Look, horror growing up, it was always... you weren't supposed to watch. You'd look at the box covers, you'd see a naked lady and you'd see a knife and you'd be like, oh, I really want to see that. And people are like, no, you're not supposed to watch that. The video nasties, all that stuff. So I wanted to celebrate some interesting, maybe good, maybe not, slashers throughout the years. And one was kind of pushing it, but I really wanted to promote it because I think it's a great movie. Not fully a slasher, but it's got enough, I think, to make it on this list, and it's super sleazy. So there's a lot of blood, a lot of nipples, and a lot of nudity for these movies. And you know what? God love them. So I want to start off with I'm going to go through the earliest. I'm going to start with 1973's Torso. Now this is directed by Sergio Martino. It stars Susie Kendall, who I kept calling out to during the film because I enjoyed her, and Tina Amont, Luke Morandi. It's a string of appealing lust murder shocks the University of Perugia as a sadistic serial killer strangles to death all these beautiful college girls, and apparently every guy on campus is a complete pig. Every single one of them. Every guy. Mark's looking at me confused, but literally there are scenes in this movie where he goes, oh yeah, I want to bang that chick. Yeah, oh, look at that. I'm going to bang her. Yeah, oh, I'm going to totally do. You should be. Through the whole film, every scene with these guys, they're talking about who they're going to bang, how hard they're going to bang her.
Mark is one of those guys. That's why he's not agreeing with you. Mark's one of those guys in the corner doing that. That's
I'm never like that, by the way. But I don't. I'm not like that.
Let's get some.
I'm too suave for that.
Here's the thing. I really wanted to. I felt there's one absolute Giallo here, and there's another one that later that is a sort of Giallo. It's a Giallo inspired. But with that said, I wanted to do at least one of these Italian because I love these movies in the sense they're so overly stylized. That there's a mystery. There's the decapitations. There's a lot of boobs and a lot of nipples. In fact, I'm kind of sporting my own nipples tonight and to celebrate. This is for you, Mark. And I thought it was okay. I thought the first hour of Torso was a little slow, and it wasn't kind of living up to my expectations. Mm-hmm. But I gotta admit, last half hour kind of rocked. I really dug the last half hour. I was like, Susie Kendall, I love her, made a lot of smart choices for a leading lady. And I, you know what? This is not a bad, in the end, I was like, that's all right. It's not a bad movie. I'm going to start this time with Matt.
Yeah, I agree. I, before the last half hour, I was getting a little bored with this. And, but it, you know, another thing that you said, I agree with too, is that, and I don't want to say, I don't, you know, that I wish we had more boobs in movies, but I, you know, there was a time when we were growing up that you're right. You look at the cover and you're like, oh, I'm going to see boobs in this. And there aren't many movies like that anymore. And now I kind of get, you know, I get why, I understand why actresses are less willing to do it now or whatever, but mm-hmm. it's really unrealistic when they show a couple having sex and the girl still has her bra on, because if you know anything about a woman, they don't want to keep their bra on all night long. Right. They don't sleep in them. You know, it's very, it's not like I'm, but it would be better if they just had the bra off and the sheet over or something like that, or just didn't show the scene at all. But it, you know, it just isn't that realistic when like, you know, it was the opposite problem in that one movie we watched where all the guys still had their clothes on. Yeah, the right. Women were all naked, but it just, you know, get them both in the same state of disrobe. All right. Mm-hmm. Can't we have that at least? But anyway, I digress.
You're not asking for much.
No, I'm not asking for much. No. But I did, you know, the whole part where she's hiding in the room and then gets locked in the room and he walks in. I thought that was pretty good. All of the business where he's carrying the bodies out down that hill and everything. And then the guys, and then the guys in town walking, talking about how there was one more girl who showed, or two more girls that showed up or whatever. And he just happened to overhear it. And he's like, ooh, I better get back up there, you know? And then all of the coincidences that caused the doctor to come back and go up there. It was all because it was that scene where he was driving and stopped on the side of the road and just gets rear-ended out of nowhere. I was like, what the heck? But that is what, that if that hadn't happened, he wouldn't have been at the gas station to hear about, you know, the girl being stuck up there or whatever. So it was okay. It was a bit, a lot of these were a bit giallo. In fact, I think at least three of them were very giallo influenced, I think. And but I think this one was the most giallo of any of them, for well,
this
sure.
Is this is a giallo film. This is absolutely
right. Well, that's true. Out, that's know? True. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, not great. I'm not again. I for whatever reason, I wish I know some. A lot of people are really into giallos, and I just can't get into them. I don't know what it is. I love foreign films. A good
one for you, man. There's some out
Everybody
there.
Everybody says that, and I watch them, and I'm like, but. I like some of the modern takes on giallo, like Knife Plus Heart. I don't know if you saw that a few years ago that came out. I really enjoyed that a lot. But some of the, like the 70s giallos, it's hard for me to get into them. I don't know why.
No, they're very specific in their style.
They are,
what
definitely.
About, let's jump in with you.
Mark. Who did you say? Oh, Mark. Yeah, you kind of cut out when you said
cut
the
out.
Name.
I didn't hear you.
Sorry, yeah, Mark. What's your take on Torso?
Torso, 1973. This was a surprising, interesting film for me, actually. I enjoyed this movie for the cat and mouse game inside of the house when he's cutting up, you know, her best friends and with that saw. And she's watching it and she's covering her ears because she's hearing her best friends being sawed into pieces to be carried out in a bag to be buried. And he locks the door and it's kind of Hitchcockian in a way, just in that premise. The pacing for me was a little slow, but all in all, a pretty decent film. I mean, for the time this film was made, I mean, it's pretty gruesome, I believe, 1973. I felt the women were a little bit blasé. They didn't really have interest. They weren't interesting characters. They didn't like really stick out to me besides their breasts. I didn't really care for them that much. Joe's laughing, but hey, that's fine. They just need a little bit, you know, like give them a little pep, you know, like a little personality. The guy who found the body, his reason for finding the body because he had to take a shit. I don't know if that was in any of your notes, but I don't even know if he actually said it, but I believe he said it. I had to defecate or something.
Yeah.
So that was kind of funny. But all in all, I really enjoyed it. I didn't think it was that sleazy, but no, it was sleazy. It was sleazy.
Seriously, dude. Yeah,
it was.
It bordered on misogyny pretty well. You know, as
Most of these did, some more than others, but
yeah.
Exactly. And the milkman, you know, I mean, God, when he came up to the house on the hill and all these ladies are just topless, naked, you know, just hanging out. I'm like, oh, my God, it's like cue the porn music. I did enjoy it, though. I enjoyed it.
Nice. Joe, of course, now you.
Joe.
That's it.
Yeah.
It was okay. I enjoyed it. Some of my notes are, this is the weirdest opening to a movie I've ever seen in my life, where some guy is photographing an orgy with a creepy doll with no eyes, set to easy listening flute music. That was just, you know, I'd never seen that before.
I haven't seen that one either.
Yeah. So a lot of debate between whether scarves are red on black or black on red, but it all looked like the same scarf to me.
And yeah.
I never realized how effective of a killing device or instrument that they are, because the first girl that he killed with that scarf died really, really quick.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
Yeah,
she did.
There was another part in there where I was also really confused what I was watching. And again, this is in that I agree with you guys. The first hour of this movie was a slog, but after that, it really picked up. But there's a scene where I didn't know if it was a concert or an orgy or just a drug den. I'm like, I don't know what I'm watching. It's just a guy playing guitar with another flute player and a topless dancer and a bunch of people having sex around.
They're all high, right?
I think so. I mean, it seemed more like a drug den and people just sort of did whatever they wanted to.
Yeah.
But it did end up with a really funny motorcycle fail, kind of like the last episode that we watched when the guy flip through the mud
right
on his motorcycle.
Yeah, trying to chase
the girl running. Yeah. Away. Yeah. I know this is an Italian film and the version that I watched was dubbed, but it in the instances where they were speaking Italian and you could hear it, the Italian didn't even seem to match up with their lips. And that got even weirder when somebody was playing piano and the piano didn't match the music either. So yeah. There's like a transposition after transposition after transposition. So it was odd. I know I'm going to spoil this a lot, but who cares? This was from 1973.
You're fine.
Yeah. I just want to make sure I'm understanding this right. So as a kid, this guy sees a kid dying because he's trying to grab for a doll and the kid falls off the cliff. Right. And because of that, now he has a thing against dolls and he can't have sex with women.
Yeah.
And the girl pushed
the kid over. The girl pushed.
Right. Right. Yeah, yeah. But the killer, he witnesses all this. He didn't do it. He just witnessed all this. And now all of a sudden he hates dolls
and women
and women. Can't have sex with them. So no. these other two supermodels in Italy that entire art class was just filled with supermodels. What are the odds? But anyway, so they find out about this and they hold it. They blackmail him. Or is that the motive? Is that,
yeah.
Did I get this right?
Yeah.
Okay. It just seemed like a weird motive. And then the only thing in the ending that really bothered me was the very ending. And I rewound it and watched it like three times. When she doesn't know who survived the melee and it's really dark and misty out and she can see a figure come walking back towards her and she's not sure if it's the hero or the villain. Okay. The first like 20 steps that he takes, it's the villain.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they cut back to her and then it's, oh, now it's the hero. Oh,
I think we're seeing what, I think we're seeing what she thinks she's seeing. So I think it's, you know, I didn't have a problem with that. Cause I think it was just them showing what she thinks she's seeing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Then I think she needs to get some glasses cause that was the killer.
So. Well, let's go to another film, shall we? The next film is next in release was 1981, Eyes of a Stranger. This features Lauren Tews from Love Boat fame, and of course, Jennifer Jason Leigh, who's kind of, you know, a thing, a hell of an actress. John DeSante plays Stanley Herbert. It's directed by Ken Widerhorn, who also did Return of the Living Dead. I actually really like this film a lot. I think there's a creep factor about it because most of these films, there's a mystery involved. We know who the killer is the whole time. We know who he is, but no one else seems to believe this. It's about a reporter who suspects her neighbor across the building. They live in this high rise condo thing. She thinks he's a killer, like strangling women. And, you know, in an effort to, like, here's the thing about this movie that I love. I love that they have her protecting her sister. Because a lot of times you see these families, like, going to, oh, I'm going to go picket this school. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go protect the kids. Meanwhile, their kids are at home just getting into trouble and causing. It's like they always do the thing that you're like, you're not protecting your kids. You're doing the wrong thing. But that's human nature. Unfortunately, that's how a lot of people are. So there's a little bit of that in this. But what I liked about it, it's creepy film. And honestly, Jennifer Jason Leigh is really good in this. It's a damn good performance on her part. And it's, I don't know, I liked it. I like the fact that it was just a guy, your normal, average, everyday guy. I think in a weird way, this was a tad more realistic than most of these slasher movies are. Honestly, that's my take on that one. Let's start with you, Joe.
I really enjoyed this film. And part of the reason is something you already pointed out is that we know who the killer is the whole time. Yeah. I loved it. Yeah. It's great. Because now we can stop worrying about that and just enjoy a good old fashioned slasher film. Mm-hmm. And boy, that Jane, she's a real pushy anchor lady. Isn't she? She's not going to let anybody cut her off. I mean, she's somebody we need to have on this podcast and let Mark try to interrupt her. See what happens to Mark after that. Probably wind up with a black eye.
Yeah.
I do have a question about Jennifer Jason Leigh's character. Mm-hmm. So she's basically Helen Keller.
No, she's deaf and blind because of a traumatic
incident. Yeah. Yes.
Right.
So yes. Yeah, so it basically was a traumatic event that led to that and just kind of.
Right. Right.
But my question is, she is, there's a scene where she's got like a laundry basket. How does she sort colors and do laundry?
No, I don't. I never sort colors. I mean, Lauren,
I at least sort darks and lights.
Maybe Lauren sets it for her. It's like, okay, these on the top. They have to do that all the time. Blind people have to do that. So
I know. And I'm totally, this is not a joke or anything. It sparked a question in my head. I wonder how do they do that?
I'll be honest. Mark, I don't.
Mark's raising his hand.
Yeah. How does she, if she's blind and deaf for so long when she was like so young, how does she know how to make a cup of coffee?
Well, they'd
be taught to do.
You're taught how to do all
this. They're blind and deaf.
Yeah.
You can. It's not that hard. They can be taught that stuff.
They teach them how to do
that. I totally get. It's called separating the colors. I don't get.
Yeah.
They spend a lot of time talking or teaching blind and deaf people how to do. I mean,
everyday tasks.
Yeah. That's not that
That was a shockingly true life portrayal of someone in that position, really. Shocking, especially for a slasher film.
I did notice this is Tom Savini makeup in this film, which is great. The Matt had the same question, but I got called on first, so I'm going to beat him to it. The killer was played by, was it John? Tom, no. All right, Matt, who was it?
John. Killer?
John DeSanti?
Yeah, John DeSanti. Yeah, was is, yeah. Is he related?
We were all wondering, we got to ask Vincent if he's any sort of relation. Yeah. Very well could be.
Yeah, it's spelled the same way.
Right.
It's spelled the same way.
It could be. It's his dad.
And again, I don't, and I will say this in every single movie that it happens, why in the hell do they have to kill the damn dog?
I know, right? Yeah.
Leave the dogs alone.
I know.
Keep in mind, though, that was still pretty early then.
I know. 1981.
Yeah. I mean, now all the time.
Well, yeah.
No dog is a real threat. Okay. That's still, it's no excuse. Anyway, the last note that I have is I really liked the jump scare at the end when we thought the killer was dead and Jennifer Jason Leigh's back in the bathroom and the whole mirror shattering thing. I really like that. So, that was good. I'd never seen it before. This is a fantastic film. I liked it a lot.
Nice. Who's next? Joe? Or not Joe, sorry. Matt, you want to go?
The other Joe.
Sure. I like this one a lot. I thought this was, you know, very sleazy, borderline, almost like offensive at times.
A little bit.
And the whole idea of the Jennifer Jason Leigh thing. I mean, he is a creepy killer too. And that beginning, the opening, I guess it's kind of it was a cold open where that whole sequence when he follows the girl home and then calls from a payphone calling her, that whole part there, I thought looked great. I loved the shots of the payphone. I thought this movie looked good. I thought I thought it was shot very well. I thought, I was actually very surprised by how well this looked, although the director, it's not surprising knowing the director, but at the same time, like just because this is a forgotten hidden gem, I think. And
it's
definitely creepy. It's definitely a borderline misogyny on this, but again, that's kind of the point, the killer, you know, and Lauren Tews, I think, plays a very pretty strong woman, you know, pretty strong. She's an anchor woman. And she, when I was a little kid, I had a bit of a crush on her from the Love Boat. And also she was she was in a TV movie called Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders.
The porno?
No, it was a TV movie called The Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders, not Debbie Does Dallas.
Oh, damn.
Anyway, I thought it was good. Kind of a cat and mouse thing and a little Rear Window again aspect to it. It's nasty, a little exploitive, kind of creepy. I liked this one. I thought that the killer was really an intimidating presence and just a he was the kind of killer you don't want to run into, you know, like a lot of these killers, there's either have some reason for doing what they're doing or whatever. And this guy was just you didn't know anything about him, which I liked that better. And, but I liked the kind of cat and mouse aspect too, where she's watching him do stuff and he doesn't realize it. So, and like Joe said, I did enjoy the fact we knew who the killer was pretty much from the beginning. We knew exactly who it was. We see him at the beginning. I mean, you see him. So, one thing I did wonder though is I thought it was a bit of a coincidence that he is the same guy who attacked. I'm assuming he's the same guy who attacked.
Do you think so? I was wondering that too. I don't think so. I think it's just, it's never really made clear. I just took it as that shit happened all the time back then. So I just assumed it
was that's true. I thought for some reason, I thought it was the same. And I think in the description, let me look, but I believe in the description. No, I guess not.
Yeah.
But But they never show the guy, and it almost looks like the same guy in the car when Jennifer Jason Leigh's young. But anyway, good movie. I thought this was probably maybe my favorite of the bunch. Maybe it's competitive with another one, but this probably might have been my favorite.
Okay, and Mark.
Yeah, of course I'm going to like this film because one of the writers of this film also wrote Friday the 13th Part 2, so gotta love that. I love the killer. It's nice where there's no red herrings. You know who the killer is, and so you know it's basically how is Julie from the Love Boat, you know, gonna solve the catch the killer. That was fun. I didn't like, and I know it's sleazy, it's, you know, this is the topic, but I didn't like this young Jennifer Jason Leigh basically almost being raped and getting her shirt torn apart and all that. I mean, she was born in 1962 and this came out in 19.
She was 19.
She was 19 years old, and I'm just and like, what she are you
looked,
doing?
She looked younger because she was
– she looked 15.
This was, I think, around the same time as Fast Times, and she
– a year before.
Yeah, and so – and she was cast in both of those movies because she was of age but looked younger. So the whole thing was a bit creepy.
Yeah. I also watched – I went on YouTube, and I like to – find reviews of Siskel and Ebert, you know, reviewing these old films. And Siskel actually enjoyed this film. He actually enjoyed the director and, you know, his artistic views. Wow. Unfortunately, he couldn't recommend it because it was so sleazy and it was so, you know, bloody and at the end. But he was, recommending this director. And he did research on it. And it's a PBS director who did like documentaries on PBS.
Oh, wow.
And so, and Siskel was saying, like, I get it. You know, he's trying to get into the movie industry. And unfortunately, these talented directors have to basically do a horror film to, you know, try to do his own, you know, projects. And, you know, unfortunately that's the case, but I mean, I thought the movie was just fine.
Well, Siskel and Ebert were known to trash every single slash.
Yeah.
So you can't take them seriously when it came to these. You can't. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Right. We discussed Siskel and Ebert, you know, just bashing on these films, but it was interesting because he kept talking, and Ebert even was enjoying the film too, but said it was just too violent and it was unnecessary. And I do agree, it was unnecessary. With Jennifer Jason Leigh. Also, they brought that up. They didn't even know who she was. They just said that poor young girl, you know. And it's a great film. I really enjoyed it. And that guy is creepy looking, man. It's like a John Wayne Gacy kind of spectacle. Yeah. You know, this average guy. Yeah, but he kind of reminded me of a
killer. It looked like a serial killer.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
The glasses. Yeah. It had the serial killer glasses.
And the hair piece kind of thing going on. And he was like gray and kind of like a glossy kind of complexion. God, he's
big. Really?
Yeah. Big boy.
Yeah.
Big boy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm glad.
What'd you think of it?
I already said I love this movie. I absolutely love this movie. I think it's a smart film, and I think it's I was watching it, and I was definitely, God, this is certainly sleazy, but I do think, I don't know, I think it weirdly made it a little more effective because this felt like a real dude. It didn't feel like a mass killer. And the performances were so good that you're like, especially from Lauren and Jennifer and this that guy. You were just like, ooh, it's funny. I just, for the first time, interviewed Jennifer Jason Leigh about a few months back with her new series, Hunters, which she was on. Mm-hmm. And I had to mention this movie. I said, you know, the first, I kind of fell in love with you when I saw A Stranger's, Eyes of a Stranger. When I was a kid, and she's like, oh my God, that was my first film. And she actually had a good reaction to it. I was impressed. I was impressed. She seemed to have good experience with it. So
good
on that note. Good for her. Good for her. I hope people see it. It's a good film. Seek it out. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Now you want to get even more sleazy? Let's get sleazy. Following up that same year, because there's a lot of slasher movies, I almost picked one from that same period, which was even far worse than all of these guys. And I couldn't do it. I didn't want to watch it again, but I went with Night School. Now this is a interesting one directed by Ken Hughes, featuring a young Rachel Ward, and featuring, Leonard Mann, who did a lot of these, pretty decent actor. This is basically a, guess what? Another slasher killer is haunting or slashing up girls at a girls' school. Police don't know what to do, and they're collecting their heads. Weirdly enough, I think this is probably the sleaziest, maybe the one of the sleaziest of the ones on this list.
Maybe.
I don't know.
There's one other that I think is sleazy.
Oh, we haven't gotten to it yet.
Well, that's true. That is true. Yeah, that is the sleaziest, but there's a reason for it. It works. This one, this is absolutely Giallo hardcore inspired. This is if you're going to call it, I think you could call this a Giallo film, just American Giallo. I think it really is. I love the opening scene. Like with the playground and the girl sitting on the little whatever the thing is, I kind of like the killer. I kind of thought it was interesting. I think it's a well made film, but I the soapiness of it kind of gets a little tedious, and especially why do you have to everyone in this is just horrible except for the cop. Everybody's horrible. The teacher, the professor, the woman in charge. Everyone's just awful. So you're kind of like, who do I root for in this? Who do I root for? But I kind of like it. I still like this flick. It's maybe it's nostalgia, but I think it's kind of cool. And yes, there is the beheadings and nudity. So yeah, this is sleazy, baby. Mark, let's do you in this one.
Why did the detective have to have a wife in this film? It's this whole movie started off, they're supposed to go to the beach, you know, take a walk, you know, across the beach or something like that, and then he gets a phone call and he says, oh, I'll reschedule it, I'll see you that night. I don't think we saw the wife ever again.
No, we didn't.
Never saw her again. So why even have her in it? You know, it was just ridiculous. You know, get a phone call. Hey, I got to go see the murder site. You know, see a beheading. There was no point of her. I kept on going. Where is she? Is she ever going to show up or pop up? No, nothing. One of the cooler knives in horror movies I've seen in a long time. Maybe Joe knows what it is. I don't know what it is, but it's kind of like a curved. It looks like a kind of like a sickle knife. In a way, it's bent, but it looks sharp as hell. Great motorcycle chase at the end. I really liked it. And my favorite scene, I think, was in the diner when the owner is serving these two construction guys soup, and we're looking for a head to pop out somewhere.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun. And I'm laughing. It wasn't tense at all for me. I'm just going, is it in there? Nope, not in there. Oh, is it in there? Nope, not in there. Cupboard open. Oh, not in there. Oh, he's dumping the soup out really slowly. And I'm going, where's the head?
They found hair in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the head? Not in there. And then of course it was in the sink, but it was, I just loved that scene. I was giggling all the way through it. I did like this film. The kills were absolutely ridiculous. I don't know who was dying or what was wrong with the women's voices, but they were all dubbed over. And like the one in the aquarium and she's getting slashed up. She's like, get away.
Yeah.
No, stop. Get away. I'm like, who is dubbing this? It's like, the actress was worse than the dubbing. But I love the fact that the head went into the aquarium, it's going down and it hit the sea turtle. I mean, PETA's got to be going crazy if they saw this, if it was released now. And then the turtle takes a bite. Was just fantastic.
Yeah, no.
I enjoyed the film. Unfortunately, I knew who the killer was fairly.
It was obvious.
It wasn't going to be the professor. He was too much of an asshole. But what really pissed me off was why when they were like fighting at the end, they were fighting. And then all of a sudden the professor, they do the switch up. And he's in the leather outfit with the motorcycle helmet. And he's leading them off in a chase. Why is he doing that? She's pregnant. He doesn't want the baby. Why not just turn her in? Like, I don't understand that. Like, why that change happened where he got on a motorcycle and took him off?
I didn't get the sense that he didn't want the baby. He never says that.
He wasn't happy about that. He was a playboy professor. He didn't want to get tied down with the baby. I don't know if we ever
heard him say he didn't want it.
Yeah, I never heard
that. I didn't get that impression.
Yeah, I didn't get that
impression. I agree with you, but I didn't get that impression.
I mean, there was probably subtleties there, but he never said that specifically. But yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I read it all in the eyes. He was like, fuck.
Fair enough.
Mark's like, I've been there.
The Peeping Tom, my opinion is that Peeping Tom was a supersize of Peter Dinklage. I couldn't get it out of my head. He looked like a larger Peter Dinklage, the face and whatnot. So,
oh, yeah, he did. I thought that, too.
He did, right?
Hmm.
Yeah. But, yeah, agreed. I enjoyed it.
Nice. Let's jump into Matt on this.
Let's jump into Matt. Hey, watch out.
Yep.
Feet first.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this joke to die with feet. I really can't.
I want to feel those toes in my chest. I wasn't even
thinking that.
Toes.
Okay. Yeah. One thing I thought is, you know, if you're clanging your knife on a cage while you're walking, that is probably not the best thing for sharpness if you're trying to chop off heads and stuff. The waitress could not run, that poor girl. She had a really difficult time getting away from this killer. Really difficult time. They did a pretty good job of disguising the sex of the killer, though, because I kind of thought early on, but then I don't know if they had a guy playing the killer under the costume or what, but at times, but they did a pretty good job until towards the end. Then it became fairly obvious who was underneath there. That jacket was puffing out in areas that wouldn't have. I wondered how the killer got the head into the toilet, because there was the girl was in the bed and remember that sleazy, the professor who was the woman who was like trying to protect the girl, but she really just wanted to get her in her own bed. She goes downstairs and gets killed. But then how did her head wind up in the toilet, which is attached to the bedroom?
I think the teacher, the professor, probably drugged her up so she would pass out. So she probably passed out. I thought
didn't see her fall asleep or wake up. I don't recall, but
we thought she was asleep in that scene. She's like woke up, like in that scene. She kind of she woke up.
So she did
at some point.
I guess I missed that.
Yeah. I don't think she drugged her. I think she just kind of fell asleep. Yeah, and why was that phone so far, like down the stairs, and it was just ringing?
I guess she. Well, maybe she didn't.
She went down five fucking flights or something like that.
She had a giant spiral staircase.
Yeah,
winds down.
Yeah, it was way down there.
Yeah. I'm surprised she heard it. It was so far away.
Yeah,
I'm surprised somebody fucking waited.
Oh, she said it was her office phone, though.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she that's did. Right.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like the main line. Right. Also, when they block off, the cops are on one end of the street and they're blocked him off on the other end of the street when he's trying to get away on the motorcycle. the guy's shooting and there's his partners are on the other end of the street. That's probably not the greatest thing to be doing. I'm sure that was a note of Joe's. And then that ending prank, the sidekick cop was something else. That guy, I would have asked for a new partner real early on, because that guy had horrible jokes. And the final prank he did, I'm surprised it didn't get him killed.
Amazing. That was my favorite part. Like, yeah, that was hilarious. Ever. But those goofy Boston cops.
Oh, those guys, I tell you.
And they were laughing.
What was the 70s and early 80s obsession with like Italian guys? There's tons of Italian like guys in those 70s and early 80s movies and TV shows.
Well, that's what Boston's known for, not the overpopulated Irish.
I guess
it's always the Italians.
Yeah. Fucking Italians.
I kept thinking on that final prank, it would have been hilarious if the detective in the front whipped out his gun and shot a hole in that helmet.
Perfect.
Yeah. Guy in the back seat just grazed it, you know, he survived, and then they'd get a big joke out of it.
Yeah, gee. Yeah, I did this one. It was definitely very Giallo inspired too. The whole the killer's whole outfit looked very Giallo.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And of course the kind of switcheroo that goes on with it, I guess, but not my favorite of the bunch. It was okay.
Fair enough. Joe, what about you?
We're forgetting to point out one major thing. Rachel Ward.
Well, yeah.
She's absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
She looks like she could use a cup of Matt's Java.
What? You need my Java.
Who's Rachel Ward? Yeah.
She was the killer. She was the brunette.
The girl. Yeah, She was in
Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
You've never seen it.
You saw Final Terror. We just did that on this show. Yeah, the one about the rafting.
Wasn't she
the Thornbirds, that TV series that was massive?
She was in Against All Odds.
Yeah, Against All Odds. Jeff Bridges. Wow, really? You've never seen a Rachel? You've definitely seen Rachel.
I guess if she's in Final
this
Terror.
Movie could have been just an hour and a half for her reading the phone book, and I would have been happy
with it. I got to tell you some of the stuff she's done, dude, because there's no way. Go on, Joe. I'm just doing research.
Yeah, she was big in the 80s and 90s, dude. I guess. Yeah,
I like Sharky's the opening. Machine. Oh yeah,
what?
Burt Reynolds.
Oh,
Sharky's
yeah.
Machine.
Never Edmund seen Yoko it.
Plaid.
Never seen it.
We.
Gotta watch that movie.
Mark only watched Top Gun for about half of the 80s.
Top Gun until the Lost Boys came out, and then
obviously I've never seen a Rachel Ward film.
It's so upsetting.
I'm sorry. Fuck.
After Dark.
Any?
With Jason Patrick. It.
Damn it.
You know who Jason Patrick is?
Yeah, I know who Jason Patrick is.
Fucking Lost Boys. They did the follow up to Lost Boys. He did that after Lost Boys. You should see it. You'll like it. Good.
Never seen it.
Okay. I like the opening death, but I do have a question, and it made me kind of question this whole film, like who really was the killer. But I don't understand the motives of the original girls that are killed, like the merry-go-round girl and the scuba girl.
They
were all sleeping with the professor, mm-hmm. and she knew about it every time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well. Yeah. I didn't see where they established a relationship between the teacher who was on the merry-go-round at the very beginning.
No, professor. She was in the class. She was in the class, and they hinted at it.
Oh, she was. Okay. Yeah. All right. I want to bring this up. It's not specific to this movie, but it's something that I've just had a question about for decades. Shower scenes. Every time somebody gets into a shower in the movie, they get all their clothes off, they step into the shower, and they turn the faucets on.
Mm-hmm.
How in the hell does that happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I know if I were to do that, I would go running screaming because the water would be ice cold.
Right.
You got to turn it on and let it warm up for a bit, and then you can go in.
That's true. That was a hell of a shower, though. You got to admit.
And that was my other note, is that is one bizarre shower with all the body paint and stuff that they were putting on each other. That was weird.
Oh, yeah, I was just thinking of the pressure, just how much pressure and how bad it was.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I'd like to take a shower in that fucking thing.
I know. You turn it on, you get that type of pressure and that type of heat. Oh, the ultimate shower.
Man. Yeah. Body paint. So, I mean, hey, that's
cool. Yeah.
Was it body paint or was it something else?
I thought I don't know what it was. I thought
it was a strawberry at first, but I have no idea.
Yeah, I thought it was. Yeah, because it was like pomade or something like that. Well, he was putting it on, but he was like kissing it too. So I thought it was food.
It was based on the
ritual. I don't know.
So whatever the ritual that they're
I've done like I've done the edible chocolate thing where you smear it all over the chick and you eat the chocolate, but it tastes shit.
TFI,
it's horrible. Tastes horrible.
So anyway, sweet digest.
Jesus Christ.
So the scuba girl, I agree, she didn't exactly scream very much when she was attacked. No. That kind of threw me off. When the killer is at the restaurant killing the waitress and he cuts the power, I thought it was funny that the refrigerator light stayed on. When the whole power in the entire block and the entire building goes out, but yet the refrigerator light's still on. And the next morning when the restaurant owner comes in with those two other guys and they, hey, just we'll take care of the mess. You go make us some food. That is a magical restaurant that could make coffee in like 10 seconds and heat up stew to the point of boiling in like 5. Yeah, so that
all
along
facts,
with the
all facts,
probably the, you get that stuff at the same place you get the shower pressure.
Yeah.
The cops, when they go to interrogate Gary, the peeping Tom guy, I don't think that's exactly by the book. I don't think you can just sort of kick yourself into his apartment and start, slapping him around and interrogating him there. You know, that was a little off book, if you ask me. I guess that was my last note is, and of course what Matt said is that, the motorcycle helmet in the garage, the last scene, the little bit with the detective, I thought was hilarious. I would have loved to have seen somebody get their head blown off playing a joke like that.
That would have been funny.
Anyway, Mark, watch a Rachel Ward movie. She's hot.
I guess. Yeah. No, one more thing I'd like to add is at the end, I mean, obviously he knows that she's the killer and she's walking down a funeral and he's going, is that it? It's like, basically you're done killing people. And she's like, yeah, I'm done. I'm done mourning or something like that. And he knows he's the killer and he just lets her off the hook. And then it's the joke at the end. I don't know. Get more evidence, something like that.
Well, that's double jeopardy. I mean, someone's been—they know who did the crime, and he's dead. So it's done. Ugh. That's law is messy. Law is really messy, and unfortunately, that's probably true.
it's just with that end joke. He's just laughing. He's like, "Yeah, there's still that fucking maniac. She's still out there," and he's just laughing. And it's just a joke, and it just ends. Yeah. I'm just like, "What the fuck?"
Fair enough, though. Okay, well, I think we're still going sleazy. I was going to do it from the beginning to the end, but I think I'm saving the best for last. So I'm going to skip ahead to 1988's Hide and Go Shriek. This is a movie. It's directed by Skip Skuldick. It stars Bunky Jones. Bunky. It's Britton Fry, Annette Sinclair, my favorite, George Thomas. He was amazing. I can't see that name. Donna Baltran, a bunch of kids get stuck in their, Sean Kanan. His dad has an apartment, furniture store. They think it'd be fun to spend the night after high school because that's what people do, I guess. There's a serial killer in the store. Oh my God, what can happen? Well, a lot does happen. Now, this is an interesting film because I kind of liked it a lot when it first came out. I was kind of like, I remember seeing it young and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. It's kind of cheesy. I still like it, but it's really bad. It's not a good film. It perhaps has the most annoying character I've seen in a while. And that's, she doesn't take well to the situation at hand. She does not take well. And we all have to suffer through her crying and her, incessant screaming, and was not a great performance. So let's just say that. I don't know. I it's weird. Like, it's not a good film, but I kind of love it. I guess this is my so bad it's good. I enjoyed it. And I, there's something about it. There's moments that are like, this is cool. This is cool. I like the her being, even though it was really, and this one's super sleazy, by the way, this one's really, I felt kind of dirty watching
it. Is one of the minutes that is cool that you're pointing out the Chinese fire drill that takes place 11 minutes into the film?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Hell. Joe,
that was something.
All right. So I love the opening, the very opening when the killer, whoever, is driving his car down the road looking at prostitutes. And I was wondering, are there always that many prostitutes that hang out outside of the store called OK Toys? Did you see that was across the
probably
street?
Probably not.
OK Toys. Sean Kanan of, you know, Karate Kid Part 3 fame. This is his second film. Mm-hmm. I love how one of the characters boasts about his new haircut costing $6, and that's supposed to be impressive. I wrote in here later on that I don't think this movie had a script. When they were discussing when the owner of the furniture store is walking out with his assistant or coworker or whatever, and they discuss that new unbreakable glass window, all I could think of is, I wonder if that's going to come into play later on in the film.
Sure enough.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. It does. Yeah. I love. Here's an actual line from the film. You're stupid, jerk face. So that's excellent writing.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
When the killer is drowning one of those girls in the sink, I noticed he keeps plunging her head up and down, kind of like he's trying to unclog a toilet. That just seemed a little unnecessary. Just hold the head down under the surface of the water and he'd be fine. I know it was explained in the film that there were mannequins in this furniture store, but I still think that's just an alarming amount of mannequins to have in any furniture store. And I think the fight scenes were worse than the sex scenes.
Yeah.
I do have a note in here that says, I love the close-up shot of the killer's tattooed foot. I wonder if Mark likes it too.
He did.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. And then this is great. So, the character's name is Judy Ramtees, and she decides that when she has sex for the first time, she wants it to be special. And her way of making it special is to do a striptease. Because what else does every 16-year-old girl do for the first time?
Right, exactly.
And I love the death of the killer. I hope I'm not spoiling it for anybody, but it's when they meet their untimely demise by accidentally slipping in a pool of blood and falling down an elevator.
Yep. Beautiful.
That's how I like to wrap up all my movies. So anyway, it was, like you said, a movie.
It was a movie.
Mm-hmm. Sure was. I think I'm going to say, Mark, I'm saving you for last on this one. There's a reason. Matt, going with you.
Oh boy, this was a chore to get through this one. This is something.
So your favorite of the five then, right?
Oh, by far. Yeah. I wrote about the fire drill too. And also they had sex with champagne glasses. And then I think they lifted the covers and they still had the champagne glasses. I'm like, how is this happening? You got to set those down, but they obviously didn't. What the boy that the one girl wants to have sex with looks like he's about 13 years old. The one, the nerdier boy, he looks like he's literally 13 years old. And she looked young too, but, and the guys are just there to facilitate these girls getting naked. That was all. The dude looked like
a little dude action too. There's a little naked for the women and the gay guys too.
I guess so. That one dude looks like Max Headroom with the sunglasses on that he won't.
Haircut.
Yeah, the $6 haircut. He won't take his sunglasses off. She finally makes him take his sunglasses off. Yeah. There was a point at one point when he goes looking for the killer going up the stairs. they play, it sounds very close to the Halloween theme song. It was very close at one point. It was, you know, borderline a complete ripoff. But then they didn't bring it back again after that. So I don't know. But yeah, this, it was hard to watch too, because it was just so I don't know if it was just the version I watched, but it was terrible. Like it was just, it looked like it was just a made for TV edit or something, because it was just a square. It wasn't a full widescreen, and which obviously it couldn't be because there was nudity, but maybe it was a made for HBO version or something, but it was,
I think the movie was a straight to video, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was
It was formatted for television, for a TV screen back in those days. Mm-hmm. And it looked terrible. Like the copy of it was just grain, not grainy in a good way at all. Somebody like Vinegar Syndrome or one of those places to make a 4K version of this, which they do. They Vinegar Syndrome and what are the other ones? I can't remember, but a lot of those video companies will take a horrible movie like this and give it like a 4K treatment with special features and commentary and everything. So it would be interesting to see that for this, but yeah,
I would buy it.
I would not, but I would watch it. I'd love to see it, you know, looking better. You know, it'd be interesting to see, right? You know, if it looked better, because it was really hard to see. So it was very dark in a lot of those scenes, and it was hard to see a lot of the action. But so no, definitely not my favorite, probably quite possibly. Well, definitely my least favorite of this bunch. Yeah.
Gotcha. Mark.
Why am I last? What's the reason?
Because I'm letting you do the next one first. That's
why. Oh, okay.
You asked.
So yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, Hide and Go Shriek. The light, like Matt said, it was so dark. The lighting crew should have been fired. And the director. You just couldn't, and the writer. There wasn't a writer.
Most of the cast.
You just couldn't see anything. I was just screaming, not screaming, but I was saying out loud, I was going, I can't see anything. It was driving me crazy. It's physically impossible to shove a mannequin's arm in a stomach. I'm sorry. Unless they're Jason Voorhees or Michael Myers, you know, these guys, that guy has not the strength to ram a mannequin through a guy's stomach. It's impossible. So that was just a stupid kill. If you tie up the supposed killer, why leave the room and go to the office? That was just a dumb move, but these characters were dumb, so I wasn't too surprised. And the ending was so surprising because it was stupid. Just how explained, oh, he was my inmate and I protected him and we have matching tattoos. It was just like, you know, trying to make the storyline more plausible. And the father of the department store is leaning over his janitor and his son is dead. His son is dead, but he doesn't give a shit about that. He cares more about, you know, the guy, his janitor on the floor. So that made no sense. Yeah. To me,
it was Sean Cannon, so maybe he didn't care about him that much.
It just didn't make any sense. He's kind of a jerk. He is a jerk. I did like what Matt said. That one kid that looked 13 years old. I loved that. He actually looked like a kid in high school instead of a 28 year old. You know, I enjoyed.
Well, that's true.
You're right. Absolutely.
Yeah. It was fun to watch that,
but it was out of place because everyone else looked like
exactly.
They were. Yeah,
exactly. It's like, you know, I mean, cast more of him because he wasn't a bad actor. I thought in my opinion, I actually enjoyed his character and he's like the first one or second one to die. And, Joe, when you were saying, you know, with the drowning, he was basically slamming her head on the faucet, and that's why there was so much blood. That's why he was just going to town. He wasn't really trying to drown her. He just smashed her.
That makes the movie so much better.
Exactly.
Now.
Yeah, no, it makes it 100% better.
Just Joe, you should watch it again.
I am going to buy that 4K restoration.
I would rather watch Never Fuck in the Woods 3 times before I watch this film again.
Really?
Yeah, there's something about Never Fuck in the Woods, man. I just love it. There's something about it. It's great.
Was it the giant beaver?
Oh, man. Oh, there it is. I didn't enjoy this film. I didn't like the acting. I didn't like, you know, the whole premise of it. It's just, there was no writing. It just had the characters run to each little scene and, you know, trying to hide. Oh, let's make out. Go to another scene, you know, with another couple. Oh, let's make out. It just, there was no script in this film. There was none. There was none. It was just, it's a horrible movie, man. I do not recommend it. This one kind of pissed me off.
Wow.
So he's going to watch it again after the show, guys, right?
Yeah.
Plan? Yeah.
Absolutely not.
For sure. Well,
he'll just rent it.
Let's wash that sleaze out of our mouth and let's deal with the movie. So I decided to put this last minute after we'd already figured on Don't Answer the Phone. But I was like, that movie's literally about a guy just raping women and it's gross. So I wasn't feeling it. So I went to a movie I saw when I was a kid and I was so fascinated by it. And then the critics just ripped this apart in the beginning. But now it's considered a classic. That's 1984's Body Double. Brian De Palma with a hell of a cast. You got Craig Wasson. You got Melanie Griffith kicking ass in this. You got Greg Henry. You got Deborah Shelton. You got Dennis Franz. You got some good people in this one. And this is a movie that shows you how fake everything in Hollywood is. And they do it with such glee and style. And it's hard to call this a slasher except for the scene. But I think this is a really, really great film. It's funny because I remember thinking, it wasn't Dressed to Kill. It wasn't as good as Blowout. Now it's one of my favorites of his because it's just so 80s all over. This is pure fucking 80s, and I kind of love it. And Melanie Griffith is on fire in this. She's sexy. She's funny. There's a reason she became a star. This is a movie that made her a star, and there's a reason for that. And Mark really wanted to do this one first. So, Mark, the floor is yours.
I didn't want to do this first, but I will say that...
You literally told me on the phone you wanted to do that first.
I know I really want to like review this film because I absolutely love this film. What a surprise. This is a film that that ranks high up for me, like recently watched films. Talk about totally 80s, just like James says. I mean, I think this film is a cult classic, and I will be buying this film. Obviously, Brian De Palma took inspiration from Vertigo and Rear Window with this, and I love Brian De Palma's work and how he easily shoots people following people, just like in
Dressed to Kill,
like the museum scene. There's just something how he shoots away with people following people. It's so just mesmerizing for me. Craig Wilson is fine in this film. And then later on in this film, there's a scene where he kind of like changes character, and that's the club scene. And I'm just, when it was Frankie Goes to Hollywood and it was like this music video and it's relaxed, I was grinning ear to ear. I was bobbing. For some reason, the sound was even better. It was loud. It was just, it looked like a music video. It's like I was watching an 80s music video for the first time. And it was fantastic. I loved the music in it. I loved the camera direction and how it just moved around. And then it was just that sexy fucking scene with Melanie Griffin. And that sex scene, I thought it was hot. I thought it was hot. It was really, really good. Melanie Griffith, though, her character kind of reminded me of some of her other characters, like Working Girl. It's like the same accent. That's fine. I don't know if this movie made her a star. I think it was
okay, Working. She got a lot of opportunity.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting Melanie Griffin just to be completely naked in this, but yeah, the Rear Window scenes was great. There was really hokey scenes in this that was fantastic. Yeah, just loved this film. Yeah, highly recommend it. And that one scene with the drill going through the ceiling, that was beautifully shot. Beautifully shot. Loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's jump for this one. I'm going to jump to Matt next.
Matt. Oops, sorry. I was trying to unmute myself. I thought Joe was going to go next for some reason. I don't know. I had it in my head. Yeah. Thank you for picking this one because I had not seen this in a long time and I loved it the first time I saw it. And then I haven't watched it since. And I think that's probably been a long time, but I really like this one a lot. And if you're a big Melanie Griffith fan, you got to check out Something Wild. This is making me want to watch Something Wild again, because that was such a good movie and a very similar character. But that's what she's very good at that. But she's so natural in this. When the minute she comes on the screen, it's just you can't take your eyes off her and her reactions to everything. She's amazing. She's what a great presence. Such an underutilized actor, too. I just feel like she just. I don't know if she chose a lot of crap or just didn't do much, but I mean, she's done movies certainly, but I felt like she's got more than what has been offered to her. I would have loved to see a universe where she played Alabama in
True Romance.
True Romance. Yeah. I'd love to see a universe with her in that part, but anyway, I like this. I thought also the actor, who's the main guy,
Craig Wasson.
Yeah, he's underutilized as well. I thought he was really good in this. And
he's good in horror. Like he's also good in Ghost Story. He was good in
Ghost Story. Yeah, he's great in Ghost Story.
Yeah, he's a good actor. Very good actor.
Dennis Franz. I thought Greg Henry was good in this. It was a good movie. And of course, De Palma. It's got a lot of the De Palma stuff at the mall where you're seeing this happening and then this happening. And I just love all that. I don't know that I would say it's my favorite De Palma film. I still think I loved The Untouchables and the first Mission Impossible. I think that those are just amazing. And then I think Blowout, I like that one too. I still haven't seen Snake Eyes. That's one that I've been meaning to get to is Snake Eyes. I still
enjoy that one. Yeah, the Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, I like this one. I thought, let me see. Did I have notes on this? But I didn't make notes on this for some reason. But I think I just got caught up watching it again.
Yeah.
So good, Joe has notes. I think I just got caught up watching it again because I love the Rear Window meets Vertigo. It's obviously, and
it's literally almost all of – it's like four or five Hitchcock films that it pays homage
to. Yeah, wrapped up into one. Yeah. And it's funny because he always has worn his Hitchcock heart on his sleeve. But it's out there in this one big time. I mean, he doesn't have vertigo, but he has claustrophobia. And it shows itself in the exact same way that that Vertigo showed it, and his obsession with following the girl and everything. So I just think it's a really good movie. It's very strange, very weird movie. And the music video in the middle of it, this could only have happened in the 80s. If this movie came out now, we would all be saying this is the shittiest movie I've ever seen. But because it's just got this 80s vibe to it and just everything about it, it's just, I love it. Yeah.
And every landmark in LA is in this movie. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Totally. Yeah. Oh, and the waterfall at the end, when he goes into the reservoir, that waterfall down there that goes down the steps. I just drove by it the other day. It's right off of the 5 or the 405. No, the 5, up there, like heading into Santa Clarita. It's right there. That big waterfall. Yeah.
Well,
I think Joe, it's a water purification or something like that system. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. Joe's what? Tell us about
Bobby. It was killing me where I had seen Craig Wasson before, and then like 10 minutes into it, it finally clicked that Dream Warriors. Yeah. Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3.
Oh,
it
was, that's right. That's what, yeah. That yeah. was killing me too. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I literally said that about when we first started talking about this movie, but it got lost in, you know, yes, but he wasn't that. He was very good in that.
Yeah. I noticed that he never uses his car door either. I love when the movie started off. He was, you know, he's a working actor, had a rough day, couldn't wait to get home and see his wife or girlfriend or whoever it was, and decides to pick up a meal for them for both to enjoy. And it was hot dogs. And I just started thinking, wow, you're real Mr. Big Spender. But then it turns out it's good he didn't spend a whole lot of money on dinner because his girlfriend's cheating on him. So I felt kind of bad for him after that. Deborah Shelton in this movie is hot. Absolutely hot. She is 80s gorgeous. And so I told you I was going to bring this up later. What she was wearing when he's following her throughout the day, and her hairstyle and the sunglasses, she reminded me of a brunette Cybill Shepherd.
Ooh.
And
yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of.
He was getting really, really creepy following her to the point that he was making me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, dude, come on. All right. Yep. You've seen enough. Just back off. Or if you're going to go down there, maybe take off that blazer with the patches on the elbows.
Yeah.
So she doesn't recognize it again.
At the beach with a blazer.
Yeah, at the beach. Yeah, you're going to stand out like a sore thumb wearing that thing there. Dennis Franz, obviously, you can't have a sleaze fest without Dennis Franz.
He was fantastic. He's as sleazy as they get.
Yep. Oh, my God.
I will say that after watching this movie, I have no idea what I watched. Because it was just so bizarre. Mm-hmm. Like, is this a movie within a movie within another movie and then a music video and Frankie Goes to Hollywood?
Yep.
And it just threw me for a complete loop. And I loved it because I totally didn't expect any of that. What else? The other notes that I had. Yeah, I just, it was, I'm glad that I found out it was a movie within a movie because of what he just auditions for a porn and gets the part just so he can meet a girl to solve a mystery.
Yeah,
it just seemed like so over the top that it was like something out of a movie. but anyway, I gotta say, I loved the setup. I loved the plot, the plan to make him a witness. It was so very clever. It was just like an episode of Moonlighting with a lot less sex.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yep.
Love that joke.
Yeah, this is and there actually is one that I can think of. There might be more than one. Kind of a body double type Moonlighting episode.
Yeah.
You know, the same type of thing where somebody's in disguise and they're following the wrong person the whole time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, yeah. Loved this film.
I this is a movie that I just, I think it's become one of my favorites throughout the years because it's just so embraces mm-hmm. everything that it, there's even a freaking during the relaxed scene where Norma Desmond from Sunset Boulevard looking person is going down the stairs. You're just like, why that? But it's Sunset Boulevard. It makes sense. It was such mm-hmm. a love letter to not only Hitchcock, to LA, to Tippi Hedren's daughter is, you know, in the leading role, one of the leading roles. So you're just like, this is good stuff. It's a good flick. I had to put this on this one because it's sleazy as fuck.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
totally.
Yeah.
It's good.
Great pick, Jim.
Yeah, good picks, Jimmy. And those were a lot of fun. Hopefully,
attaboy.
Yeah, attaboy. Hopefully, everybody out there enjoyed these picks. And if you didn't watch them, check them out. You'll definitely, I think, enjoy them.
And go straight tonight, everyone. We're watching again. Woo!
No, that won't happen.
No, I'm breaking out Moonlighting on DVD. I'm watching that.
Yeah, I might do that too.
So our next episode, we don't have any movies for you to watch because we are going to be having, in 2 weeks, we're going to be having an interview with director Vincent DeSanti from Womp Stomp Films and the director of the new fan film Never Hike Alone 2. So I know our beloved super fan has been the one really, you know, getting this together and putting it all together with the interview and all of our connection to Never Hike Alone 2. So Mark, why don't you tell us a bit about what we're expecting with of course, there may be a couple things with Vincent that we don't know, but is there going to be an extra guest or is it just Vincent?
He hasn't confirmed the extra guest yet.
So there may be a special guest, but Joe?
You heard it here first. The entire cast of Never Hike Alone 2 will be on Sinister.
That's right. Joe, Mark has gotten them all together.
Got them all.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
So anyway, that'll be something to look forward to in 2 weeks. So that'll give us the chance also to watch a bunch of horror movies in the meantime that are newer and maybe not a theme, and maybe check out some of the new, because I know there've been a lot of new releases on different things. So we could always check out new stuff. And in the meantime, and then of course this works out perfectly because I'm going to be heading to Lake Tahoe for a week, so I won't have much time to watch movies then anyway. So I guess that's it. So go to www.cinescarehorror.com and Joe's got a new design on there that some people have been, I know it's been selling off the racks. And that is,
I just got mine in the mail today.
Did you? Oh, nice.
Yeah, my Cinescare Rise t-shirt.
Cinescare Rise, which is a similar design to the Evil Dead Rise. And so very exciting. And of course, go to Amazon.com or any place where you buy books and buy one of my books. And I don't have any more news about Halloween 45, but it's still a ways away. So, well, I guess that's it. So we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
I mean, I've done like I've done the edible chocolate thing where you smear it all over the chick and you eat the chocolate.
Get away. No. Stop.